If I say picture an unshelled nut, what do you picture? Does the nut have its shell on or off?
Off.
See, this is interesting. I picture it on. I think of a shelled nut as one that has been shelled.
What?
There is no consensus. When you're talking about a nut, shelled either means it's a nut with a shell or a nut that has been shelled, meaning that the shell is now off it.
Ah.
Oh. So fucked up.
Yeah. Huh. That is fascinating. I love things like that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
If someone's ever like, oh, I'm going to the shop, do you want some peanuts? And you're like, yes. And they're like, shelled or unshelled? Make sure you specify very clearly whether you want the shells on or off. Or you might have to take the shells off some nuts. Or go without the chewy, fibrous peanut shells you crave. Hello and welcome to Horse and Aloud, arguably one of the best Australian BoJack Horseman earblogs. I'm Jem DeSalis.
And I'm Paige Winkle.
And podcasts are called earblogs now.
Yes, we decided that during the week.
We're very honoured, I would say humbled, to tell everyone the news.
Yep.
Do you want to tell the story?
No, because I can't remember it. How did we get there?
Because that guy at work said that you're the quirky one with the blog.
Yeah. A guy was giving me a compliment at work.
Like, it sort of blew my mind because I thought about it a little bit and realized that podcasts basically are blogs. Like, they're much more like blogs than radio because it's still a kind of weblog. You're just logging your thoughts with your talky bits instead of your writing fingers. They aren't actually broadcast. Any random jerk with a website can have one. They're uploaded when they're finished and then consumed at the leisure of the audience. And they contain a lot of rambling amateur opinions and loud anecdotal evidence. And I've never liked the word podcast. The pun only works in certain accents. In an Australian accent, podcast does not rhyme with broadcast. And also it's sort of Apple-centric because presumably the pod comes from iPod. So, everyone, tell your friends. Pretty much guarantee I'll forget to ever say it like that again.
I'm impressed you remembered now.
It's because I wrote it in my thing. So, we watched the final episode of season 3 of BoJack Horseman.
It's called That Went Well.
It was a fun time, I guess. It was less depressing than the previous one.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it was that uplifting.
I was editing the episode before this a couple of days ago, and like even in the edit I was like getting really emotional.
Aww.
And like, because I was like pulling out like sound clips from the episode and stuff, and just being like
okay, should we get into it? So we start and we find out that we're in 2007. BoJack shows up at Sarah Lynn's concert and he wants to get her to sign up for the BoJack Horseman show, kind of leading on from the flashback we had last episode.
Yeah, so I guess that did actually happen.
Yeah, and BoJack initially gets like turned away, but Sarah Lynn realizes who it is and invites him to come hang out, and she confides in him that she doesn't like being mega famous and it makes her life really difficult and she doesn't have any close friends.
It is so great to see a real friend who knew me before I got huge and isn't just trying to get something out of me.
Right.
I swear, you are like the only one I have left. I am this close to falling off the deep end. I know I'm smiling right now, but the light inside me is dying.
What?
The deep end. It's another swimming thing.
Yeah. I don't think that it's wrong of him to come to ask, but he realizes it is no longer appropriate to ask if she wants to be in the show. He really should have backpedaled and just not brought it up.
Yeah, he should have. But he must have needed it really badly. It's not just him. It's also like there's a whole crew that works on that show and the writers.
We're looking for a really big guest star.
Oh, you want me to be on your show?
Well, I just thought it would be really fun for the both of us.
She asks him to leave. I liked the background. Did you see the Beatles poster?
Yep, always good to see the Beatles as Beatles.
Yep.
She's cleaning makeup off her face with paint solvent.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Alarming. She's got some seemingly self-written affirmation posters that just notes that say, I am in charge of my own destiny. Mega fame does not define me. I heart me, etc.
Oh, poor kiddo.
Yeah, so she would have been 21 back then, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, so young. God. I started to think about 2007 as 10 years ago. Well, it's 11 years now, but
yeah,
I guess that's just how time works. And then we see the present, and Bojack's at home watching the news.
Again, for those just joining us, actress and pop star Sarah Lynn is dead at 31.
He's very disheveled still. He's watching it on the news, which means that it's a little while, like definitely a bunch of hours if it's being broadcast now, since Sarah Lynn died, but he still hasn't changed into clean clothes or anything. He's just sitting in his messed up, ripped up house in a messed up, ripped up outfit in his messed up, ripped up life.
And it makes me think, how did that situation play out?
We get a merciful time skip, but what do you do if someone dies next to you at the beginning of a planetarium show?
Yeah.
Gotta go get an usher, be a celebrity's dead in the front row.
Yeah.
Did he try to do CPR on her or something at first?
It's one of those things, oh, that would be interesting to see, but you don't really want to. It was probably horrible and traumatic.
Probably not interesting enough to justify putting it in the show.
Yeah. Tom Jumbo Grumbo is reporting the tweets that people are sending in for condolences, and Adam Levine is mentioned. And yeah, he says, condolences and she will be loved. I thought that's a good joke. Because of that song that he has.
I do not know. I don't know who Adam Levine is.
Do you know Maroon 5?
Yes.
He's the lead singer of that.
Okay.
That's why people know him. Okie dokie. Yeah, so it's a real sad scene watching Bojack find out the news. Well, not find out the news. He already knew.
Yeah. I think he suspected.
Yeah.
Although that's actually an interesting question. Presumably she got taken away in an ambulance and there still would have been a chance that she could be revived. So I wonder if Bojack went with them in the ambulance. Was he there when she was declared dead?
Did he even hang around? There's the possibility he just ran.
I doubt he just ran.
Okay.
He would have definitely at least alerted someone before doing that, because if he had just ran and not done that, I think that would be weighing more heavily on him.
Yeah.
Because that's spectacular negligence on his part.
Oh, yeah, it is. But we don't know what happened. I don't want to know, really. Mm-hmm. It's just too sad. Okay, so next we see something kind of comical, which is good for a comedy show. Margot Martindale is on Bojack's boat, and she's got the, giant papier-mâché head of Todd sitting there with her.
What say you, Skippy?
I think you got a touch of the ocean madness, Margot.
And I think you got a real smart mouth. You want another night in the box?
No! Anything but that!
All right, and then we see up in the Secretariat blimp, the blimp pilots spot Margot, but they brush it off because they're basically just pilots. And then we see in the boat, Margot spots a large cargo ship in the distance, driving right at her. And then we see a bird dive and, it looks... Presumably it's going to get a fish to eat.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
It wouldn't be able to do that because the fish would be too big, surely.
Yeah, it didn't even have a knife.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, then the seagull comes back up and it's got its head stuck in the... in one of the six-pack rings.
And then we see in the ship there's two people steering the ship and they're on the phone.
We've hit a few delays, but you'll get your precious cargo by tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But the big opening of my new restaurant is tonight. How can I offer the real Italian cuisine without my real Italian spaghetti?
And they don't see Margot Martindale's boat.
It's Sandra's new restaurant.
Yeah, so that's the chef from Alephant. And we see that the waitstaff from Alephant now work at his new restaurant. Isn't it the elephant?
Yeah, oh, right. No, I got confused with something else, because later we see that that donkey family that were just eating at Alephant are now the waiters at Alephant.
Yeah. So she must have quit her business job. Or maybe she's doing both. Maybe the son took over the business job.
It's also implied that the waiter who got burned really badly is still the head chef.
Oh, yeah. So the ship, not seeing Margot Martindale's boat, just like speeds up to get the pasta to the restaurant sooner. And Margot, seeing what's happening, just decides to take on the ship. And the blimp see the ship and the boat collide. We do not see that, unfortunately. And the pasta like leaks into the ocean, and the reflection from the sun onto the blimp cooks the pasta. So it just starts expanding.
I like that the blimp somehow heats the water enough to cook the pasta, even though we already discussed that it wouldn't, because a convex mirror doesn't focus light and therefore couldn't.
Yeah.
None of this is how science works. Spaghetti doesn't cook that quickly.
If the water was that hot, Margot Martindale, then that would not be having a whimsical conversation about how you cook spaghetti. Apparently you don't add olive oil to make it less sticky. It's a myth, doesn't work, but it probably makes it taste better.
It stops it from absorbing sauce the way it's meant to. That's the reason why you shouldn't do it, not just because it doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Because pasta shapes are specifically designed to absorb different sauces.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, did not know that.
Not like dinosaur-shaped pasta, but like all of the different normal shapes of Italian pasta with Italian names, those are all designed for like very specific consistencies of sauce.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I just ignore all that, but...
Me too. All right, so then we go to a TV news report with Tom Jumbo Grumbo again, and he explains how the pasta is sinking onto the underwater city that we saw earlier in this season. And they go to an expert, and her name is... And she was voiced by Carla Hall. So she was just playing herself as a spaghetti scientist.
I don't know who that is.
She's cool. She's in heaps of things. Nothing that I could name. That's what she's in. And so Carla basically lays out the scenario that would save the city.
What can you tell us, Carla?
Well, Tom, as the spaghetti cooks, it will expand, smothering the town and tenderly broiling the sea life who reside there. The only hope for rescue would be if someone had an enormous quantity of spaghetti strainers just sitting around the house. But that person would also need access to a fleet of drivers to transport said spaghetti strainers. And in order to strain the spaghetti fast enough, the drivers would also need to be incredibly strong swimmers. Like, just as an example, hot, sexy killer whales.
Is there such a savior who could possibly fit that ridiculously specific set of criteria?
I don't know, Tom.
And we're like, ah, oh, Mr. Peanut Butter. We see him and he's like walking into a movie theater, about to work secretariat. I guess that's the first time he's seen it. Decides to turn his phone off.
The other movies at the box office are Star Wars. So I guess Star Wars, but with more pigs in it than usual. What a chuckle. Dead Poodle instead of Deadpool, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Haberdasher. I think I'm starting to think that the people working on background jokes in BoJack just think that haberdasher is a really funny word. Because we had the haberdasher's peanut. I don't know if haberdasher or the haberdasher's peanut are references to real films, but they're not animal puns.
No, yeah. It pops up a lot.
Oh, and there's a poster for Lens Flare by J.J. Abrams, which is very funny. Joke.
What is a haberdasher?
It's like an obsolete word for seamstress.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, I'm curious. Internet on tape. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's like a sewing supplier. So it's a person who sells small things for sewing, like buttons and ribbons and zippers.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is in Britain, but in North America, it is someone who sells men's clothing.
I love it when words do that.
The sewing articles are called haberdashery, or notions in American. I guess in Australia, we just call all that stuff sewing shit.
So, yeah, Mr. Peanut Butter goes into the movie and turns off his phone. And then Todd wakes up from his nap at the office and he finds out about the situation from the TV. And so he calls Mr. Peanut Butter, but obviously can't get through because his phone's turned off. So he leaves some messages. And then we see Mr. Peanut Butter come out of the movies.
98 messages. Better listen to them all in order.
Mr. Peanut Butter, call me back as soon as you get this, okay? We need your strainers. This is life and death.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Peanut Butter, I'm at your house with the entire Cabra Cadaver fleet, but we can't get in! You need to get over here! It's a spaghetti strainer-related emergency!
All right, buddy, just as soon as I listen to these other 96 messages!
Good afternoon, I'm calling from Center Theater Group. You saw a play once 8 years ago. I wonder if I could interest you in a full season subscription.
Oh, I don't have time for this!
The Cabra Cadabra offices have a very tall and very slowly teetering, if you actually look at it, it's swaying from side to side, pile of paperwork and receipts. Because Todd is not good at filing and should not be allowed to run a business. they pretty much only need Mr. Peanut Butter because they can't get into his house.
Yeah.
Like, literally the only thing Mr. Peanut Butter does is unlock his house and then waste a bunch of time putting on some Mad Max armor made out of spaghetti strainers so he can, like, turn up on top of one of the cars and look cool and save the day.
I was just looking back through things and I just noticed that the cup of Coke that he's drinking from at the cinema, like, it's very large. Good joke. But it's also called Cola Koala, not Coca-Cola. I like an Australian reference, even if it's just a well-known Australian animal. Yeah, so then, as you said, Mr. Peanut Butter arrives at the beach Mad Max style to save the day. And then we see BoJack, and he's watching an episode of Horsin' Around that is featuring spaghetti. I don't know if that was by chance or if he was like, spaghetti on the news. I watched that spaghetti episode of Horsin' Around.
Why didn't you just tell me you made too much spaghetti?
Well, I thought if you knew I made a big mess that you wouldn't love me anymore.
Sabrina, that's not going to happen. We're a family now, no matter what, and I will always be there for you.
Okay.
And then Diane comes to check on BoJack, and here's where we find out that BoJack's just got back from the funeral, and he's really feeling really bad because everybody there was like, well, this was destined to happen eventually.
It wasn't bound to happen. I don't know how to be, Diane. Doesn't get better and it doesn't get easier. I can't keep lying to myself, saying I'm gonna change. I'm poison.
BoJack.
I come from poison. I have poison inside me and I destroy everything I touch. That's my legacy.
Diane has a new cast. Her arm got rebroken during BoJack's drugscapades.
Oh, poor Diane. I bet he never apologized. Probably never even noticed. Because to him, he was just like, Diane had a cast, I had a blackout weird trip, and then Diane had a cast again. So Diane tells BoJack how much Horsin' Around actually helped her survive her childhood.
When I was a kid, I used to watch you on TV. And you know I didn't have the best family. Things weren't that great for me. But for half an hour every week, I got to watch this show about four people who had nobody who came together and became a family. And for half an hour every week, I had a home.
To use that to demonstrate that people are definitely better off because of BoJack. BoJack isn't poison. BoJack gets really sincere.
I know you don't want to hear this, but you're too good to be writing Instagram captions for celebrities.
I'm not just writing.
I'm sorry, but you are. You know you are.
Okay, thank you.
And I wish you didn't get so distant after you moved out.
I'm sorry.
You know me better than anybody, and you can't not be a part of my life.
And then BoJack calls Ethan to say that he wants to do Horsin' Around. So Ethan, like, immediately closes his shop. He's like, yep, let's do this for real this time. And then we see Mr. Peanut Butter, Diane, Ralph, and Princess Carolyn at the restaurant.
Which restaurant? There's two now. There's two restaurants in play.
Yeah.
It's Andrew's place, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a Mexican place for some reason.
There's like a heron or a stork or something eating a pizza.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought it was Mexican.
His whole deal is that he's massively Italian. Why would he open a Mexican restaurant?
That's a good point. I just didn't put two and two together. I think it's because, I'm looking at it now, I'm an idiot. I thought it was really red, but it's red in the sense that it looks really Italian, not that it looks really Mexican.
Yeah, it's Italian red, not Mexican red. What are you talking about? I'm so confused.
I don't know, like the little decorations, like the fairy lights and the things on the wall. I just like in my head was like, Mexican themed restaurant. Those are the things you find in a Mexican themed restaurant on TV. But then looking at them closely, I can actually see that, no, the giant coin is like, it's Italian, it's not Mexican. It's got the classic tablecloth, like the white and red.
Not like in Mexican restaurants where they just eat off a gigantic tortilla draped over the table. That'd actually be good.
That would be good.
Actually, that's like, that's a lot like the experience of eating Ethiopian food.
Oh, really?
Like, you don't really get plates. It's just a huge platter that's like the size of a small table that's got bread on it. And then all the food is on top of that. And you just reach in with your hands.
Oh, I've never had Ethiopian food, but I've heard it's really good.
Oh, you'd hate it.
I'd hate it. Is it spicy?
Yeah, it's spicy and there's a lot of like beans and stuff in it.
I would hate it.
Oh, although actually I get the vegetarian stuff, which does have beans. It's possible that the non-vegetarian stuff doesn't. But yes, all of our good buddies are having a meal at Sandra's place, the famous Mexican restaurant. Waiting for their spaghetti and pizza.
Yep. Would he even have spaghetti there, though?
That's actually a good point. His spaghetti delivery got waylaid, so I guess not.
Anyway, Mr. Peanut Butter's being celebrated for saving the day. But I feel like it was also Todd. But anyway, he's not there. Diane kind of brings up how the driving company, I forgot how to say it. Is it Cabo Branco? No, that's not right.
Cabrica. Oh, fuck. You need to sell that to a Moroccan cab company. yeah, Cabracadabra. I don't think that she's the one who brought it up. I think that, like, Mr. Peanut Butter was like, haha, yeah, Diane hates Cabracadabra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't hate Cabracadabra. I just think it objectifies women and contributes to a cheap and damaging culture of sexist commodification that undercuts the exact reason it was started in the first place. But, you know, everything does that.
I like that we have confirmation of that, because we were saying, like, this would not have been allowed to happen if Diane was here.
Yeah, if he'd mentioned one bit of his plan to Diane, she would have shut it down.
I really like the fact that Diane at some point, like, came home to Mr. Peanut Butter and what Cabracadabra had become and was just like, what did you...
Oh my god. All right, so Mr. Peanut Butter talks about how much money he's making because he's going to sell that company, and how it was a mistake for Princess Carolyn to close her business. If she'd held on for a couple more months, she would have been rolling in it.
I'm actually enjoying my time off. Ralph and I went on vacation.
Can you believe this one had never been to Cairo?
Those Egyptians really know how to treat a cat.
Boy, do I want more world building on that. Because, like, what? Like, what was it like? Was there, like, a weird caste system with cats being in charge? Were all the pharaohs cats?
Maybe everybody was just really polite to her.
What were the ancient Egyptian gods in this scenario? Because, like, they're always depicted as humanoid bodies with animal heads.
Yeah.
That's just folks.
Yeah.
How would you indicate in the hieroglyphics that these are gods? Oh, also, later on, we see Princess Carolyn looking at a photo from her vacation of the Sphinx.
Yeah.
It was, like, it may actually, like, be my favorite thing in this vein. Like, I think this is way funnier than the, like, mermaid tattoo with legs. Because the Sphinx, in real life, is a statue of something with the body of a cat and the head of a human. But in the BoJack universe, it is the body of a human and the head of a cat, which also just makes it a person. Just sitting weird.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I'm just looking at it now. Oh, that's amazing. I know the color isn't my thing, but I really like how Princess Carolyn and Ralph look together. Like, they both kind of wear the same, like, greeny color.
Did you just say, I know color isn't my thing?
Yeah.
Elaborate on that.
I'm not the color expert. I don't...
Oh. I thought you were saying that you dislike colour.
Oh, no. I find colour fine. I have no problem with colour.
I know I usually hate colour, but this time some outfits had it, and I was like, okay. This scene is, I had this wrong in my head. Have we ever brought up Ben Chunch on the show, Martha Stewart's pony?
No, I'd remember that.
I didn't think so. Because, like, that's a really big thing with Lisa Hannawalt, the art director on BoJack Horseman. She has a podcast called Baby Geniuses that she does with Emily Heller, and one of the things that they talk about is Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch. Like, she just owns a fell pony whose name is Ben Chunch. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, weird, like, conjecture over whether his name is Ben Chunch or Ban Chunch, and, like, how he was named and stuff. Lisa Hannawalt tweets about it all the time, and, like, sometimes Martha Stewart, like, weirdly responds. Like, there's subtle signals that Martha knows that it's a thing and is, like, slightly trolling Lisa Hannawalt. And I knew that there was a scene with Ben Chunch sitting in a restaurant in BoJack Horseman wearing a sweater that says Ben Chunch. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was in this episode, in this scene, but it was actually last season.
Oh.
And I just missed it. I think it's because the bit on his sweater that says Ben Chunch is a lot more subtle than I was expecting, so I probably just had it in a minimized view and didn't notice. So for all of you disappointed that I didn't bring it up when it actually came up.
Now we know. Mr. Peanut Butter jumps on the phone and he gets a call, he takes a job.
Another offer? That's incredible.
Ralph and I...
They want to pay me how much? Well, that is a lot of zeros. Sign me up.
What is he doing? You never take the first offer.
Hey, Diane, what have you been up to?
And then Princess Carolyn and Ralph set up a job interview for Diane.
Ralph's sister Stefani is starting a new website. Mm. You'd be perfect for it. I'll set a meeting.
Yeah, that could be cool. Why don't you give her my info?
No, I'll just set a meeting. It's easy. I'm not doing anything else.
Except for enjoying your time off, right?
Right.
And then back at Princess Carolyn's house, Princess Carolyn decides that maybe she wants to be a manager, not an agent.
And it's played for laughs because agent and manager are very similar jobs, and she explains it badly, but I looked up what the difference actually is because I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
The main difference is an agent works for a talent agency that's licensed by the state,
yep,
and that gives them the legal right to solicit employment for their clients, whereas mm-hmm. managers don't have to be employed by a management company or anything. They can just work by themselves, and they're only allowed to provide guidance. Technically, they're not allowed to set up auditions or negotiate contracts, but in the real world, they usually do end up doing that anyway.
Okay.
They also often take a larger cut than an agent would, and they also often have far fewer clients. This article I'm reading says that the best managers work with fewer than 20 actors, whereas an average talent agent will work with 100 and something actors. I'm actually very curious to see how much they'll stick to that. We're probably at some point gonna see Princess Carolyn negotiating a contract for someone, and I'm gonna be illegal. It's from the article on backstage.com, 6 Differences Between Agents and Managers by Secret Agent Man. If anyone else wants to look at that, I can't imagine you would, but I didn't want to plagiarize.
No, fair enough. So Princess Carolyn sounds really confident about this new job, but Ralph is a bit hesitant that it's very similar to her old job, and he mentions that he was looking forward to having her all to himself, which I thought was creepy, but I guess that's a thing people say to people in relationships.
It's kind of sad that she's pretty much just going back into the same line of work. Although, I have to say, even though there are, very few differences between a manager and an agent, it does actually sound like it might suit her a little better.
Yeah, I agree.
Turns out, she just can't live without workahol. She also clearly was restless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to figure out whether I think this was a healthy decision.
Yeah, I agree. Only time will tell. All right, then we see the set of Ethan around, and BoJack and Ethan are working on the script, just going over some parts of it. BoJack actually gives a gag to Ethan because he thinks he deserves it as the title character, and they kind of bond over it. It's really sweet.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice scene of BoJack being a genuine mentor for once.
Yeah.
He seems to have definitely realized that he was taking Sarah Lynn for granted.
I guess maybe this is his way of making up for that. But yeah, and it also indicates that he actually wants to have this show go well. He doesn't just want to be the star. He wants it to succeed, and he wants Ethan to succeed.
Hmm.
Which is not very BoJack-y. All right, so then we see Diane's meeting with Stephanie Stilton. And Stephanie is voiced by Kimiko Glenn. Does that sound familiar to you? She's in Orange is the New Black.
Oh, as who?
Yeah.
What? It said as who.
Oh, as who, sorry. Her name's Brooke So-So. That's what I thought you said.
Oh, cool.
As Brooke So-So. No. I was really impressed that you knew her name.
I want to make it clear to listeners that the reason why people mishear things in podcasts that sound perfectly clear to you is because the recording sounds better than our phone call does.
Yeah.
whenever I'm editing and something like this happens, I'm like, man, it sounds so stupid that one of us misheard such a well-spoken word. Our connection on our phone or Skype drops out a little sometimes, or it's just kind of muffly. But yeah, no, I love So-So. She's one of my favorites.
I like her voice as well. It's so unique. And I think she's cast well as a mouse.
Stephanie looks really cool as well.
Yeah.
She's got these little lapel pins on her shirt of things of cheese. And she's wearing a really cool top.
Yeah, she's cool.
Lisa Hannawald enjoys designing glamorous showbiz mice. Yeah, this is the meeting that is at Elefante.
Yes.
And we see that the donkey family are still being the waiters, and the former waiter is still the chef, I guess, because all the plates just have random things on them.
Yeah. And did you see that dish? It comes out on fire, and as the waiter puts it down, it sets his own arm on fire and the customer's arm on fire.
Everything tastes better if you put it on fire.
That's what I keep telling our smoke detector.
Our smoke detector is such a snowflake.
Yeah, it is.
What? think you're cooking that toast too much. She's like, I'm not.
And with the oven, it's like, it's a little bit brown. Stop screaming at me.
I disagree so strongly on what constitutes burnt food.
Yeah.
With the smoke detector.
Stephanie offers Diane a supportive workplace where she can work on pieces like takedowns that she did before in the past. Yeah, in kind of offering her the job, Stephanie asked Diane if she would be willing to take down anyone like Mr. Peanut Butter and say his car business. And it kind of, we don't hear Diane's answer, but then we see Diane talking to Mr. Peanut Butter in the kitchen saying that she got the job. So I guess the implication is that she said she would do that.
Yeah. Which is some good foreshadowing there.
Yep, Diane thinks her opinions are more important than Mr. Peanut Butter's ventures. Okay, so next we see the office. We didn't really get to spend that much time in that office, did we? Just kind of saw them buying it.
Todd never got any furniture for it or anything. He just stacked up the goddamn receipts.
Yep. So Todd's showing the office to the new owner. They're like, we don't need this tour. We're just here to give you the money. And he gets a check for $8 million. Emily shows up at the office.
Because she is also a former partner and is going to get a bunch of money.
And they kind of have a moment. And you're like, ooh, we'll come back to that later. At the set, they're recording the episode and there's a bit of a lighting issue. So they have to shut down for a while while that gets fixed. And BoJack makes conversation with the new little girl.
She's playing one of the horse children. But she is a human. She's wearing one of those horse head mask things.
Maybe there's not that many horse actors.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Chloe?
What do you mean? I want to be like you.
Like me?
I want to be famous.
Oh no.
BoJack?
No. Oh god.
Is everything okay?
I can't be here. I can't do this again. This isn't right.
What do you mean?
I need to go.
We need to shoot the rest of this episode.
I'm sorry. I don't belong here.
Where are you going?
And then we see BoJack driving to his house. When he gets there, he kind of just stands in the doorway and doesn't really go in.
Yeah, because he gets there and it's desolate, toddless, broken, full of mess. Probably also just kind of a reminder of like all the stuff that he did with Sarah Lynn recently. Although I don't think that they ever really went to his house. I think they mostly hung out at her house and did road trips.
Also, the car's not in the pool anymore because he's been driving it around. So apparently, man. Teslas are waterproof.
I mean, of course they're waterproof. They're electric.
In real life, you couldn't leave a car in a pool for a couple of weeks and it'd just be fine.
Things that are powered by electricity can be immersed in water.
So BoJack doesn't go into the house. He just walks away. And then we come back to Todd and Emily, and they're at the diner and they talk about what they're going to do with all their money. And then Emily says that she's really confused about how Todd treats her.
Todd, can I ask you something?
Of course.
What's your deal? I feel like you like me, but you don't like me, but you like me, and I don't know what that is. Are you gay?
Whoa, why would you even?
You can tell me if you're gay, it's fine. This isn't the 1600s or some places in the present.
I'm not gay. I mean, I don't think I am, but I don't think I'm straight either. I don't know what I am. I think I might be nothing.
And then it kind of gets sidetracked with this whole thing about Todd accidentally leaving his $8 million as a tip.
Emily does say that it's okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't mind.
I have a lot to say about this scene. And okay. A lot of people did at the time. Because this is meant to be like the reveal that Todd is asexual. But he doesn't actually say the word asexual. And this is a pretty consistent problem in TV shows. Like, the identities that are most likely to be erased never get said out loud even when they feature prominently. Like, in Orange is the New Black, Piper is pretty clearly bisexual, but people are like, oh, she's gay, and now she's straight, and now she's gay again. What's going on? And there's even a bit where her brother is like, people aren't exactly one thing, but no one ever says bisexual.
Yeah.
The same thing is kind of happening here. Like, he says, I think I might be nothing, which for a start is like, slightly creeps me out. Like, he could have said, I think I might be neither.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might be nothing is kind of bothers me, but that's kind of a semantic issue. But this is a pretty realistic portrayal of how asexual people feel before they find out about asexuality as an orientation.
Mm-hmm.
But if the goal is to represent asexuality in a positive way, I think it's slightly irresponsible to never use the word asexual, because that's what's going to allow other people questioning their identity to find resources and community and information.
Yeah.
I think that they got a lot of feedback like this, and whether it was their plan or all along or because of the feedback, next season, the first episode is basically just a very special episode about what it means to be asexual, where they use the word a lot and drop in a lot of Wikipedia-style definitions, and it's a little awkward in some ways, but I think it was definitely the right move. But yeah, they got a lot of criticism for not doing it a little bit sooner. Like, they definitely could have had the bit where Emily says, like, oh, maybe you're asexual in this scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll talk more about Todd's asexuality next season, because it does feature prominently, and I think that's really cool. This was only a slight blunder, I think. They definitely meant well. I did want to mention that it did cause some controversy.
No, good idea. I didn't know about any of that, but I see.
Imagine all of the teenagers watching BoJack Horseman who saw that scene and were like, oh shit, that feels like kind of how I feel. Still can't Google it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I really relate to that character, but can't look into it.
Granted, next season they did, but like, a year can make a lot of difference for someone who feels isolated because no one is like them.
I guess it did generate conversation about the topic.
Mostly a positive thing that they did, even in this one scene, before they fixed it a bit, but still some slight blunders.
All right, so after that we see BoJack just driving out of town. We see he's leaving California. And then we see Mr. Peanut Butter in Diane's house, and they're both waiting for pizza. And then the doorbell rings and Mr. Peanut Butter gets out to get it, and it's his ex-wife, Katrina, showing up to ask if he wants to run for office as governor, which is interesting. But it's a good move, because, like, not a good move. It's just interesting that, like, in our world, a lot of celebrities do run for governor, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and the other one that ended up being president, Ronald Reagan.
For a second, I thought you meant Trump.
Oh god, that country has had too many celebrity presidents. Oh, two is too many. All right. And then at Princess Carolyn's office, she's got her old building back, so she's got her old office back.
She's just moving straight back in.
Judah comes in and runs through her schedule.
Your first meeting's at 10 and you have a lunch at 11:30.
Thank you, Judah.
Also, I have someone online too trying to get in touch with BoJack Horseman. I have no idea how she got this number. It sounds like it's a teenage girl.
Tell her I don't work for BoJack.
I'm sorry, we can't help you.
And then we see this little horse girl in a teenage-looking bedroom just hang up her phone sadly.
Yeah, she has the same diamond marking on her head as BoJack. Yes. She looks a lot like him. I think we were definitely meant to assume, like, this is perhaps some kind of relative of BoJack. Perhaps related to that time he said that he paid for a lot of abortions that he never followed up on. Her room is cool. Philly Vogue magazine is apparently a thing. Like, okay. I like that there's a version of Vogue specifically marketed to horse girls. I don't know. Does Philly imply a young female horse as well? I suspect it might.
I thought Philly was a young female horse.
Yeah, I think that because when it's an older female horse, it becomes a mare.
Yeah.
Fuck, there's a lot of horse words.
There is.
Anyway, it is definitely a very teenage looking room. I wonder if we'll ever find out who that was.
We'll just have to wait and see. At least I can remember the next season.
Yeah, what is your recall like for season 4 right now?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. I remember all the messed up episodes.
Spoilers, Paige. Don't let the listeners know that next season of BoJack has some messed up episodes. What if it was finally a season where everything was just smooth sailing?
All right. And then, so the last scene we see is BoJack on the open road, and he's driving along, and he closes his eyes and puts his foot down to increase the speed, and he takes his hands off the wheel, and he just kind of lets the car veer off. But then he kind of, I don't know what prompts him to do it, but he opens his eyes, and he sees, like, he pulls off to the side of the road, and he sees this, like, herd of wild horses just running.
I love this because, like, it really does manage to convey this is a herd of wild horses.
Yeah.
Even though these are just a bunch of people running barefoot in, like, ripped up jeans and tank tops or shirtless with kind of, like, bristly faces. They're sort of slightly coded as perhaps homeless, but, like, we definitely know watching this, like, this is a herd of wild horses running free across the plain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Reminded me of Spirited Away, but Spirited Away was a cartoon with actual horses. No, not Spirited Away, Spirit.
I was going to say, I don't remember that from Spirited Away.
Have you seen Spirit?
No.
I should watch that movie. God, that used to be my favorite movie. I used to be really into horses. And now I'm not that much into horses, but I do a podcast about a horseman. So yeah. Still kind of into horses.
It's definitely a thing. Like, young girls just seem to get into horses.
Yep.
Like, the equivalent I can think of is that, like, typically young boys will be, like, raised and encouraged to get into, like, vehicles.
Are you implying that girls get into horses because they're like, it's a female mode of transport?
No, but I just mean that, like, horses is weirdly narrow. Like, for boys to be into vehicles and for girls to be into animals would make more sense to me. But yeah. It's interesting that horses specifically is such a thing.
Yeah.
And I guess vehicles is like a subclass of machine and is kind of specific. And I guess most people would just say boys are into cars, but I'm just thinking of back when I was a kid and was like, I was really into ambulances.
Wow, okay.
And like bulldozers. Like, I was very into construction equipment.
That makes sense. Lots of kids are into construction equipment.
My mom made me a cake shaped like an ambulance for my birthday one year. It was sick.
Oh, nice.
Definitely lost all of that fascination though. Like, thinking about me now, like, that was a weirdly stereotypically masculine interest for me as a child, given how I turned out. But like,
yeah,
I play BMG Dot Drive sometimes. I guess that is sort of about vehicles, but it's more about destruction. So BoJack tries to kill himself a little bit there, huh?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
I think it's the sort of thing that you would think of as not an active attempt to die, but one of those things where you would be like, well, I'm gonna do something incredibly risky for a moment, and let's see if God thinks now's my time.
I think also that, like, there's a link between what he was doing and the experience he was feeling, like wind in the hair, like freedom compared to the horses as well, with their wind in their hair and the freedom. Like, I think he saw that and was like, that's a safer way to do that rather than just closing my eyes while I'm driving my car real quickly.
Definitely. I think this was him thinking, I want to be free and freedom is death, and then seeing those and being like, maybe freedom is something else that I can achieve.
Yeah.
And that's, again, as always, a weirdly hopeful end for the season of such a fucked up show to end on.
And it's running again. Like, running and swimming, like, water are really strong themes.
Yeah, running and drowning are two very common metaphors used in BoJack.
Yeah. Maybe this show is actually just about exercise, like promoting exercise, but just running and learning to swim.
I do sort of wonder what those horses' lifestyle is like. Like, are they just hippies who are into barefoot running? Or do they live in kind of a commune in the desert? Like, are they sort of homeless or nomadic? Or are these just like, is this just a running group that does have houses somewhere, but just meets up to do barefoot running in ripped jeans?
I don't know. I remember watching a documentary about, you know, people that lived in houses they like carved in stone out that area, like out in California adjacent. So I don't know. I always presumed it was those people, but it could be anybody. But
yeah, that's the end of the episode and of the season.
Hmm.
Back in the 90s and so on and so forth.
Yep.
So the main thing that it bothers me that we did not get closure for this season is, did Anna kill that manatee? Because the way she said, I've handled it, and the level of scandal, like, even if she didn't do a murder, she would have need to have done some kind of pretty significant bribe or threat to keep that out of any papers.
And does she regret it now that he didn't even win the Oscar?
Also, do you ever wonder what Wanda's up to?
All the time.
Yeah, I don't know why I even asked that. Of course you do.
I miss her.
How's she doing? Even just career-wise, like, I don't want her and BoJack to get back together, but it would be nice to check in.
Yeah.
Anyway, good season, good show, worth doing a podcast about, the end.
Yep.
Next episode, we will be doing a one-off episode on the Wild West COW Boys of Moo Mesa.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to find on YouTube, but it's also the sort of thing where I don't think you will need to actually watch it with us. You can just Google, like, a picture of the cast, and that will probably give you the information you need. Honestly, I think that we can get away with, like, if you, me, and our guest just watch episode one on YouTube.
Okay.
And then we can just look at the synopses of future episodes. I think that will probably give us enough to talk about. Should we say who the guest is? It's not like a celebrity or anything.
No.
It's just one of Paige's friends.
Yeah, it's my friend, Allie.
And my friend, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you know her.
I know her and I'm friends with her dog. Next episode, if you like, you can watch episode 1 of Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa. I think the episode is called Bang 'em High. Probably make a joke about sex in the episode. Look forward to that. And then after that, we will start BoJack season 4.
Nice.
No sense beating a dead horse. You can like us on Facebook at Horse and Allowed or follow us on Tumblr at horseandallowed.tumblr.com.
Email us at horseandallowed@gmail.com or tweet at us at horseandallowedpod.
And if you like the show, why not rate or review it on iTunes? Or just approach us and try and get us to run for governor of California. I'm Jem DeSalis.
I'm Paige Winkle.
And until next time, suck it, dumb shits.